Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD, brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Faith Debate is on every week at this time. We talk about things that I think would be interesting to hear different people talk about. That's kind of the premise of the show.
Yeah. Might as well make it a nice selfish faith
debate. Yeah, that's right. And this week, I think it'd be interesting to hear a couple of Christian pastors talk about something that nobody ever likes to hear sermons on.
Oh, yes.
Tithing. There is research that's been done. There's a guy named Barna, George. Famous in Christian, somewhat famous in Christian circles for his research, and a lot of the megachurch, gigantic megachurches that subscribe to his research put into practice some of the stuff that he comes up with. And his research says that if you want to have a big congregation, don't talk about tithing.
Isn't that something?
Really, he actually says that?
He says that you shouldn't take an offering, right? Because offering is a turnoff. And that you shouldn't, focus at, if the purpose, and here's where the distinction might be in fairness to Barna, if the purpose of the service is to make it open to seekers, to make it open to those who might not be really committed Christians but are kind of checking it out or whatever, that you shouldn't be speaking about that stuff, that you should save that for some time when you're speaking to a room of committed Christians. Now, there it might be the problem. I think that if we're getting together to worship God on a Sunday morning, for example, that we should be there
right.
to worship God as committed Christians. Yeah. And you can do your seeker-sensitive stuff maybe somewhere else, but that's a different topic.
It is.
For a completely different show.
That is a different topic. Yeah.
But tithing is a touchy subject. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that the Old Testament teaches that we should tithe. There seems to be some doubt that the New Testament would continue that teaching.
And those that reject the idea that that tithe is a New Testament thing will argue that we're no longer under the law, that we're free from the law.
You mean an Old Testament thing?
Yeah. They'll argue that, if they're arguing it's Old Testament but not New Testament tithing, they do it because they argue that we're no longer under the law. The problem is that all of Paul's arguments for us going beyond the law go back to Abraham, and Abraham is the first one to tithe, and he's the one that taught us how to tithe. And so tithing, for those that claim that it's a New Testament issue, is an issue of faith, not an issue of the law. It's an issue of gratitude towards God. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed because they no longer give thanks to God. They no longer glorify him as God. And tithing has at its root this gratitude that God gave me everything that he's already given me. So for me to give back 10% is nothing in comparison with what he gives to me. And so those are kind of the two approaches.
And let me jump in for a second, because I realize now that I clumsily got us into this show.
We ignored that, though.
That's Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel. Also on the show this week, Yolanda Gamble, pastor at Sure Fellowship. And Snerdly has decided to join us this week.
That's right. Are we not going to identify Smurfette or whatever.
Jonathan. Secret guest.
But our secret guest, you listened the last couple of weeks, somebody who's been sitting very quietly and patiently, but this week maybe we'll let her speak, is my beautiful and talented wife, Dina. Since she hasn't had a chance to speak on the last three shows we did about money and what Christians should do to manage their money, what the Bible says about that, let me give you a chance. You can use mine. Let's take a second for you to say tithing, for or against?
Oh, I would say definitely for. The question becomes, how blessed do you want to be? How much do you truly seek God's kingdom first? How can you seek God's kingdom and then out of your heart of thankfulness choose to withhold the blessings that he's bestowed upon you? That just doesn't make sense.
So does a Christian have to tithe?
I would say they cannot afford not to tithe.
Amen.
They should tithe. And just like Dina said, how much do you want to prosper? It's up to you. Because if we do this as unto the Lord, as our reasonable service, our willing sacrifice unto him, His word promises to give back to us abundantly. I believe that it's just an Old Testament law, and that it no longer applies in the New Testament. It's the whole truth. When I look at the Bible, of course, when you look at the Bible as the Bible, the old and the new are parallel together. They're together. They're cross or interchaining together. Many of the New Testament scriptures is referencing back to the Old Testament. So I say that we cannot put away or take away from any part of the truth. It's the whole truth. And I believe that the blessings of Abraham are now upon every one of us, and we can have the benefit of that through Jesus Christ. Thank God he made it possible for all of mankind to come into that blessing. And so I say we can't afford not to do it.
You know what's interesting also is that you look at the story of Cain and Abel, and even Scripture says in Hebrews that by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Mm. But we don't know what the contents of the sacrifice was.
That's right.
Truly. So I believe, like you were talking about in earlier shows, that it's a matter of the heart.
That's right.
So we, as far as we're concerned, Abel might have been given something to God that was, quote unquote, less desirable in a physical, worldly sense,
mm-hmm.
but because his heart was right before God, it was obviously much more righteous. Like
That's
the
right.
woman who put the coin in.
That's right.
And she said, and they said, Jesus said, she will be remembered because she gave more than those
yes.
who put more in.
Good. I'm glad you went
her
there.
Poverty.
Mm-hmm. That's the passage that I've had some people attempt to use to argue that. Tithing is not an absolute requirement. The question is, did the widow who gave the mite, she gave all that she had, but was it a tithe? Like had she spent everything else that she had on things to just barely survive, and so she gave, or is it, you know what I'm saying? Like, what exactly was the widow's mite? And anyways, what I've heard argued is that with really, really poor people, you know, oftentimes they're not giving a tithe, but they're giving their last mite. And for them to feel like in at all condemned that they can't give 10% would be the wrong message of tithing. And, you know, there's a compassionate side to me that says that, you know, for people that are really, really poor, you know, each one should give in their heart, you know, what they've decided to give, mm-hmm. and give abundantly, you know, give out of the, you know, joy. And that I wouldn't necessarily push a tithe message, though, in the context of anybody that's making regular money, you know, even if they're at the lower end, you know, so I'm a little bit split because I heard that argument, and I have to agree that condemning somebody for not tithing is the wrong way to use the tithe message. And unfortunately, like a lot of people that maybe are giving to televangelists and this kind of thing, you know, they're giving themselves into poverty, and the sheep are being fleeced, and it's not necessarily the right way to go. And so, again, if I'm interacting with somebody that's poor, I'm going to say get a job. And as soon as they got money that's coming in, you know, that's effective, I'm going to say, you know, so are you tithing on that? You know, are you giving to the Lord? I'm going to lead them in that direction. But if they're not yet, I'm going to be very slow to leave an impression that you know, they should feel guilty for not tithing. And I guess my point is that we need to apply the tithe message in the context of grace and not legalism. And I think that's where people get off, is like, you're not tithing? Well, shame on you. You shouldn't have even, you know, and you almost leave this impression like they shouldn't have even come to church that Sunday, you know, like they're just, you know what I'm saying? And so I guess that's the balance that I'm trying to get at.
And it's certainly, I'm not going to argue for condemning somebody at all, I hope, ever. However, in the Old Testament, you know, we're told that what a tithe is, it's not, you know, after you've spent 90%, come bring your 10% that's left over.
Yep.
Or go find, you know, the sheep that has the blemish and bring that. It's you bring the best of what you have.
Amen.
And the first of your fruits.
Yeah.
And Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So shouldn't those who are poor even more so give the first 10% rather than their last mite so that they can have their vats overflow and be blessed? Shouldn't the principle be more, not in a condemning way, but in an encouraging way, say, look, maybe what you need to do is, I know you've only got $4 to your name.
Mm-hmm. So give 40 you know, cents.
Give 40 cents.
Yeah. I think that we should teach people how to give. Certainly the poor should be encouraged to give the tithe. And just when you said the widow who had the mite, who came and gave all that she had, her confidence as a daughter of Zion or of God mm-hmm. was in God, that if I put this last in, that it would be blessed by the priest, which is very scriptural, and then God will cause an abundance and an overflow. So she did that by faith, believing and knowing and being very confident in the word of God, which she knew. And so she was found in the temple worshiping, and she gave the mite, and she knew that God was going to cause an increase to come in her life. I believe the woman gave in confidence in the word of God, and knowing in her relationship with the Lord that he would not let her down, he would do that. And that's how I believe we should preach to the poor. And if a person came and said, you know what, I just don't have any money. I have no money at all. All I have is maybe a pension, and that's spent out on my mortgage or whatever it's spent out on, and I have nothing. Then I think that they should at least give some time. Give something.
Mm-hmm.
Give your service. Give your talent. Give your skill, give something to the Lord. As you begin to willingly do that from your heart, increase begins to come. And then eventually, somehow, God, I've seen him do it, but somehow he makes a way for that person to increase financially, and then we continue to encourage them. Give, if it's $4, then give 40 cents from that $4, and God will increase you, as you can see. Men, he will cause men to give to your bosom. All sorts of supernatural things can begin to happen for you.
And one thing what you said actually happened in our lives.
Wonderful.
When we were going through financial difficulty, the Lord said, you need to give. And I said, Lord, we have nothing. We had bills coming out of our ears. We had all this debt. I said, Lord, I don't know. And the Lord showed me I had a talent of having my cosmetology license. And he said, you do haircuts as a ministry.
Look at that.
And the Lord, I'm telling you, we had a Christmas where people gave us things. I didn't even know how we got gifts. We had no money for gifts, and we had gifts to give to our children. It's a matter of seeking the Lord.
Yes.
And it's your heart. You're right. It doesn't have to necessarily be money, but it has to be out of thankfulness. This is what I have to offer.
This is all I have.
And sometimes all you have to offer is filthy rags. Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's very scriptural. And he who has much, much is expected.
That's right.
That's also in scripture. And he who has, you know, it's a matter of God's grace is so much bigger than anything that we have in our lives, that he makes us abound in all things.
That's so true. God does that. Amen. God does that.
Mm-hmm. Well, then what do we do with a guy, you might be familiar with the name George Carlin.
Yep.
Comedian. He was very famous in the 70s and 80s, not quite so much anymore, but he had a bit that he did once where he plays the character of Jesus. He's being interviewed as Jesus, a modern day incarnation of Jesus. And at one point in this bit, I think it's actually, if I remember the bit correctly, the interviewer says, so Jesus, you know, any last words? Our interview's coming to a close. Any last thoughts for us before you go back to heaven or whatever? And he says, yes, don't give your money to the church. They should be giving their money to you.
Oh.
So what do you say to somebody like that?
Obviously George Carlin is... Is desiring...
At least then he was blasphemous. I've heard some stories that maybe he's possibly become a Christian, but I'm not sure about that.
Let me ask this question. If you want as a society to be a society that has a fear of God at its heart, it requires a certain amount of work, of teaching, of ministry, of knowing the Word of God, of the Word of God being preached. You know, that there's a certain amount of responsibility. The fact of the matter is that school systems can't survive without the funds that come in. Why? Because we believe that there's a certain amount of education would be good for kids. Right. And so they actually take it, you know, they take a tithe, if they will, right out of your taxes every year.
All the time.
And the point is that the tithe is a way scripturally to do two things: one, to give to the spiritually poor, and one, to give, secondly, to give to the physically poor. All tithes in scripture go to ministering to our spiritual poverty or ministering to our physical poverty. And if we are truly impoverished spiritually and or physically, then it simply makes sense that a tithe would be the least we could do to invest in that kind of thing in a nation or wherever it is that we live. But so often people like George Carlin and people in the world say, oh, all the church wants is your money. That's it, man. They're just trying to get their money out of you. And yet that same person, every time they do anything in their job, expects to get paid.
To get paid.
And
that
same exact person will recognize that everything that they... I mean, think about lawyers. How much money does a lawyer get to sit and listen to you for 1 hour?
1 hour.
And to give you a little bit of advice.
$800.
Or a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And so my sense is that the world has been very effective at mocking the church.
That's it, right?
For
there.
Recognizing that if it's going to do a good job at serving us as a nation and us as people in knowing the Word of God and being called to account, then there simply will have to be some kind of a money stream to provide for that. And God's command is that He will abundantly bless those people that give in that kind of direction. Why? Because they'll be seeking first the kingdom of God. They'll
That's
be giving
right.
to the kingdom, and then the kingdom actually gives back
and
through the ministry.
And it comes down to earth, yeah.
And so what is it? A couple of years ago, some people calculated if every Christian in the United States tithed a full 10%, mm-hmm. that Christians could take care of all welfare payments and all health care payments that are necessary across the nation, that literally the church would be able to if everybody fully tithed, you know, at a 10% rate. And I believe that that is a biblical approach, that we not look to government to provide health care. We not look to government to provide for the poor, but we look to the church to do that kind of thing out of the abundance of their heart. Mm-hmm. You know, how much better for a poor person to be ministered to people who are doing it out of the love of their heart instead of having to deal with some kind of a bureaucratic, you know, institution that is impersonal and you know, tries to act like they care. And I'm convinced that tithing is God's approach to both spiritual poverty and physical poverty, and that it works mm-hmm. if a nation chooses it. But more than that, that the principle is that we give to God because He's yeah. just so abundantly given to us.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we not just give back, you know, a simple 10% just to say, God, thank you so much. You've been so good to us.
That's Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner, also on the panel this week, my wife Dina, and Yolanda Gamble, the pastor at Sure Fellowship in Frederick. And this is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. If somebody doesn't give 10%, let's say somebody makes $100,000 a year, if they don't give $10,000 of that to their church during that year, are they sinning?
I think that they have made a decision to not see that God, that all things come from God. You said that in one of our shows,
yeah,
John.
Yeah.
They have failed to see that all things come from God, and that this would abundantly bless them, much like the rich young ruler that we brought up in past conversations. He walked away shamefully because he thought he was going to lose something. God is trying to get something to you, not take something from you. The
Amen.
Church of Jesus Christ, which we call the church at large, is trying to get something to you, people, and not take something from you. It's very, very important that if we present the Word of God, that you must understand it. If you become a worshiper of Christ and worshiper, then, and you do those good services, and we learn to do that through studying the Word of God as to what God requires of us, then He is bringing something to you so that you can live a whole life, a blessed life, a fulfilled life.
And there's nothing wrong with blessing.
That's
if,
right.
I mean, look at, you know, you look at Job, you look at David, you look at all these men in the Bible who are just overflowing with the abundance of God's goodness in their life, and how they did set that example of giving to the poor and of giving out of abundance. I mean, you talk about gifts. You know, what is your position about if someone gives you a gift, whether it be monetary, whether it be, you know, clothes or whatever? What do you, how do you tithe on that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've felt led that you tithe. If you get a monetary gift, you still tithe on that gift. God graciously
yes.
gave you that gift. How much?
Yeah.
Wow, this is above and beyond what I've just received from just working. Now you're giving me a gift on top of that. Well, praise the Lord. If you get an inheritance from your family, from a member who's passed and has done good diligence of doing a good job of having money set aside that then can pass on to you, how could you not be thankful and give out of that abundance again to bless the kingdom and to bless those who are not quite as blessed as you are? There's nothing wrong with blessing. If anything, it's God's mark on your life. Now, that does not to say that if you don't have blessing, that means that you don't have God's mark on your life. Don't
yes.
misunderstand what I'm saying.
Right.
But I don't want people to think who are hearing the show think that, and you all touched us this on an earlier show, that because you are rich, it means that you aren't taking care of the poor, or that you're less godly, or you're less righteous, because the righteous are the ones who are supposed to sell everything and give to the poor. There's nothing wrong with blessing.
No.
Yeah. Again, a study was done at one point that, you know, about who gives and who doesn't. And what was noticed is that those people that are for smaller government tend to give like up to 20-30% of their income, you know, away. Whereas those people who are for bigger government don't give anything, you know, and they're just looking to the government to do it. But coming back to, again, the question, you know, is a person sinning if they don't give 10%? The way that I'm going to approach that is to say that we need to live up to what the Lord has taught us in our heart. And if a person's been in the Lord and the Lord has taught them about tithing and they've been living the tithe, but then they choose to stop, I do think that they'll sense distance in their relationship with God, and that they're going to experience a measure of famine in their business and different things. I think that it's very likely that God would specifically call them on it. But if a person has never tithed before and they give 2%, and that's it, and it's a step of faith, and they're giving abundantly, then I think probably God's going to begin to bless them for that. But I heard it said one time that you shouldn't give more than 10%, that a guy had in his congregation somebody that was very wealthy that wanted to tithe like 20-30%, and he said to the guy, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to take that extra money and reinvest it in your business, because if you'll do that, you know, a year from now, you're going to be tithing more, you know, just because your business would have been blessed. And I thought that was an interesting perspective. I know some pastors who, like Rick Warren right now, he lives off 10% of his income and he gives 90% of it away. I know some other pastors that have benefited phenomenally from, you know, national ministries who have done similar kinds of things and said, I'm going to live off of $80,000 a year salary and that's it, and give everything else away. And as a result, they've built orphanages and hospitals and all these other kinds of things, because they invest the money in the kingdom. And so, again, I think it does have to do with your heart. And it's hard to just call it a sin, but I think if a person is growing in the Lord, then they're definitely growing in the direction of giving a full tithe to the Lord and giving it freely and abundantly. And that as a result that they're experiencing in their life the promise of God, where he says, Dina, you said this earlier, that this is the one place where God says to test him. Mm-hmm. Test me in this and
yes,
see if I will not throw open the storehouses of heaven. Which is different from, you know, from a rebuke. He's calling us. He's throwing down the gauntlet. He's saying, look, try it out. See what
That's
I'm going
right.
to do for you.
Yeah.
And my experience is that those that have tried it have liked it. So
that's right.
And that scripture reference is Malachi 3:10. If somebody wants to look up
That's
where
right.
God says
mm-hmm.
to test him, you can look that up. And if you didn't recognize the reference to who's this Rick Warren guy, he's the author of The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life. Both of those books have done very well, and so he's very wealthy. And I think his church is Saddlebrook in Southern California.
That's right.
30,000 people plus.
Yeah, one of the largest churches as far as number of congregants in the United States. Actually, one of the largest in the world. But
may I just say something real quickly? I think that you can certainly give more than 10%. I give more than 10%, and I don't boast in myself. I do that because God has blessed me abundantly. And he's caused me to prosper. I was at a point where, as a single parent, struggling, didn't have any money. My children and I were abandoned by my husband. And for a long time, I didn't have very much. I started the concept of just giving and giving from what I had. And sometimes even having to just give of my service, my talent, and everything like that. Yeah. And God continued to increase me. As he increased, I said, my Lord, you're worthy of more than 10%.
Yeah.
And I just started giving and just started giving in abundance. And you know what? Abundance just keeps on coming. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that there's, you just stop at the 10%. But he did say give 10%. Mm-hmm. And I think just according to your faith, let it be to you.
Amen.
And that's where my faith level is. And that's where so many faith levels, as you, John, mentioned, that some other pastors are abundantly blessed because now they're only living from 10% of their, and they're giving another, 90%. But I think that according to our faith, that God is going to bless us at that level, and I don't think that there's a certain number we need to put on it.
Yolanda, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've heard it also taught that that's one reason to not teach on the tithe, but to teach for people to give out of the abundance of their heart, because oftentimes if you just teach people to give out of the abundance of their heart, they do that. They don't stop at 10%, but they just keep giving. They keep giving because soon it's going to come back to you on every wave. And so, the tithe, teaching the tithe could go both ways. Well, I give my 10%, and that's all I'm ever going to give, and you could be like stingy with the tithe,
that's right,
if that's possible. But, so the point is again, it's about the heart and about being giving people in everything that we do. And if we do that, I think God blesses abundantly.
And I will agree with that. And I'm going to wrap up the show here by saying something that our two pastors maybe can't say, but I feel like I can say because I'm not a pastor.
Oh, okay.
Sinning is missing the mark. If you miss the mark, you're sinning. And it seems to me God has set the mark. He asks you to give the first fruits, a tithe, a full 10%. And if you miss that mark, you are in sin, it seems to me. And so I would encourage you, listener, if you're not giving 10%, you are missing the mark. Not that you're set at 10. If you want to give 11, 11 and three quarters, 12 and a half, you go ahead. But if you're not giving what the mark is, it's my opinion that you're sinning. Have a nice day. Thanks for listening to the Frederick Faith Debate. Thank you, Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, Yolanda Gamble, pastor at Sure Fellowship, Dina Skinner, my wife. I'm Troy Skinner. Our sponsor is Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Thanks for listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD.